Blog Talk Radio.
Going back. I'm moving ahead. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for a new day. For a new day. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I'm blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And our word today is going to be coming out of Joshua. Y'all know, my crush chapter, my crush book. Got a big old crush on Joshua. We'll be coming out of Joshua chapter 11 through Joshua chapter 12. We will also be coming out of the 44th Psalm, verses 4 through 19. Proverbs 14, verses 1 through 2. And our word for this morning is coming out of Luke chapter 10. And it is a reminder on this second day of Holy Week to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor. The greatest gift God ever gave us was love. Love for each other and his love for us. How many people would give up their child for us and for someone else? I would be very hard to say I'm going to give my son or my daughter or grandkids or the people I love, my sisters in Christ, that I would give up one of my family for a sinful world. That I would sacrifice someone that has been with me from the beginning of time for a wicked world. But God loved us like that. And as we studied the Ten Commandments pretty thoroughly in Exodus chapter 20 as well as Deuteronomy chapter 5, and what God said was, we can have no other God before him. We got to love our neighbor. We got to love the Lord our God with every part of our being, a heart, a mind, a soul, with our strength, with all those things that are part of us. We got to love God. And we cannot have any other God before him. Those are the requirements. Those are to love him and love each other. You know, as we've dissected the Ten Commandments on this show, we know that the first five are God. The second five are neighbor. You know, you divide it up. When you hit love, honor your father and your mother, so your days may be long on this earth, God, then it starts us loving each other. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to lie on them. You're not going to covet their stuff. You know, God doesn't ask much of us. But love. Love is the key to every commandment, to love each other. Father God in heaven, we come to you with loving hearts. Asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Asking you, Lord God, to guide us and hide us in the clip of the rock, in the safety of your loving wings. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength. And I say one more time for the Holy Spirit. You, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Lord. So I ask you to take over. As I decrease, you increase, Lord. Let the words of my mouth be in your holy sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Lifting up and putting this word at your altar, Lord God. And thanking you with my whole heart for your love for us. For your love for me. For your love. And allowing your son to come to this wicked planet and give us life for us. Which are many, keep on allowing us grace to be forgiven. And all we have to do is ask. So, Father God, I ask forgiveness for anything I may have done, anything I may have said, anything that is against your divine majesty. Before I go forth in your word, Lord God, I ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. As I repent of all things, seen and unseen, I repent and ask forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. We must repent daily and take our everything to the altar. Give over to God everything. You're good, you're bad, you're ugly, because he already knows everything you've done. He already knows everything you said. He already knows it. You give it to God and move forward. Don't get stuck and caught in the past. And pray. Pray and pray some more for your brothers and your sisters. Pray for your brothers. I lift each and every one of you up and ask God's covering over you as you go to your job, as you do whatever it is you do every day, because we all go to work for God. So we are in Joshua chapter 11, verse 1, and it says, as we go forward in this word, and again, I say this daily, we are coming this year out of the trials of family. Life principles, daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the King James Version. I also go to Tony Evans' Christian Standard Bible, as well as I believe it's a George Myers Amplified. And I have a Rainbow Bible, which is the NIV. So you may hear me say I'm going out of, and I may go out of any one of these, and it may just also be a King James Women's Bible that I may be going out of as well. So we kind of go through all Bibles, still same lesson, maybe go through different Bibles, but our for this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible. And when I say we're going to hit a life lesson, life questions, life examples, those are from Dr. Stanley. And again, a disclaimer, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries to hawk this Bible. I just will tell you, it is something that if you need a devotional daily Bible, so you can read the whole word in 1 year, this is a great Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. We need the word. We have to stand on it. We have to meditate on it day and night. That's what it has told us. That's what we must do. Study God's word and watch God work in your life. I tell you, I get excited when I read the Word of God because it's just that good. So, again, join me in Joshua chapter 11, starting at verse 1. For the month of May, somewhere in May, I am looking for readers. If there's anyone who is interested in coming on and reading the Word, and ministers are always welcome, as well as any clergy or just someone who loves God and loves to read His Word, you can DM me in Twitter at minister_bTalksWord, and we'll have a conversation. So thank you so much, and let's get started. And this is, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Ekshot, who were from the north in the mountains in the plains of Shinarot, in the lowland and in the heights of Dor, on the west to the Canaanites, to the east and to the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the mountains. And the Havite below Armon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring the horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with them came against them, and suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to the greatest Sidon, to the brook of Mizrephah, to the valley of Mizpah. Eastward, they attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounts, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoils of these cities and the livestock the children of Israel took as booty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak and the extent of Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Havites and the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time, Joshua came and cut off Anakim from the mountain, from Hebron and Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, and whose land they possessed on the other side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Shihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled half of Gilead from Arel, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of that river even as far as the river Jabbok, which is the border of the Ammonites, and the eastern Jordan plain from the Sea of Shinaroth as far as the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, the road to Beth Jeshimoth, and southward below the slopes of Pisgah. The other king was Or, king of Bashan, and his territory, who was at the remnant of the giants, who dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edrei, over Mount Hermon, over Selkah, over all Bashan, as far as the border of the Gershurites and the Mechanahites, and over half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Ashbon. These Moses, the servant of the Lord and the children of Israel, had conquered, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribes of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua, the son, and the children of Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan. On the west side, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, as far as Mount Halak, and the accent of Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the mountain country, in the lowlands, in the Jordan plains, in the slopes, in the wilderness, in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, the king of Jericho, one, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hebron, one, the king of Jermuth, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Eglon, one, the king of Gezer, one, the king of Debir, one, the king of Gedar, one, the king of Hama, one, the king of Arad, one, the king of Lebna, one, the king of Adullam, one, the king of Mekadiah, one, the king of Bethel, one, the king of Tapua, one, the king of Hepher, one, the king of Ethek, one, the king of Lasharon, one, the king of Madon, one, the king of Hagar, one, the king of Shimron, Meron, one, the king of Akshath, one, the king of Akshath, one, the king of Tanakh, one, the king of Megiddo, one, the king of Kiddush, one, the king of Jethmeam, one, Carmel, one, the king of Dor in the heights of Dor, one, the king of the people of Gilgal, one, the king of Tarzah, one, and the king, and all the kings, 31. Woo! Joshua did not play. And I know our title today is Love Your Neighbor. But these were not neighbors, these were enemies. And these were the ones that the Lord said, you got to clean out. Because we understand, had they not, idolatry would have reigned even worse. Because when you don't get rid of the root cause of an illness, of a situation, of a rot, you know, when you have termites, they go and find the termite nest and they destroy it, as well as destroy all the termites that may be in a home. They get rid of it and they treat it and they make sure none come back. They are killed, period. when you have an infestation of anything, mold, mildew, whatever, you got to kill it at the root. And that is what God told them. They had to get rid of all these folks because they were going to be a rot on Israel. Unfortunately, they did not get rid of everybody and wound up having to deal with idolatry later on. Had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff later on. But understand this, as we go through Joshua, in the whole time of Joshua's leadership, they stuck with God. There was no foolishness because Joshua did not play as Achan did because he didn't do what he was told to do and caused the plague. Joshua did not play. And that's why I love this book, because Joshua lets you know up front, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day. You got to choose who you going to serve. Joshua did, and he did what God said do. We got to have some Joshua in our spirit and do what thus says the Lord. Not perfect. None of us are. But we got to start working towards doing what's right. And it says this in Joshua 11:11. They struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. Unreserved and total obedience leads to unreserved and total blessing. And that's what happened. They were blessed. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed in their coming out, blessed in their going in. In Joshua 11:20, a life lesson is this. It was the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them. Our sovereign God hardens the hearts of some so that he might execute his judgment on them. He can take even opposition and use it for his glory and our benefit. Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said, what they did to you 5 years ago, what they said about you. Don't worry about that stuff. Give it to God and keep it moving. We got to learn how to not allow things to get in our spirit and mess us up. You know, we get messed up because we don't know how to let go and let God. We don't know how to give it to God and let it go. You know, been there, done that, had the Unforgiven t-shirt, but I had to learn how to get rid of that t-shirt and burn it up. Because unforgiveness does not hurt the unforgiven. It hurts you. Wonder why folks are walking around sick right now, because they're running around with a whole bunch of unforgiveness. Let that mess go. Give it to God and keep it moving. Because you got life, and you want life more abundantly. And you can't have it when you have an unforgiving heart. Let's keep it moving. In Joshua 11:23, a life lesson. Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord has said to Moses. Sometimes God doesn't keep his promises when or how we thought he would. God told Moses that Israel would take possession of the promised land. And that's just what happened in God's way and in God's timing. Whatever God has for you is for you, but it may not come when you want it to. But believe me, it will be right on time. We got to give it over to God and allow God to work whatever the situation may be. And as we continue in Psalm chapter 44, verses 4 through 19, so go with me to the 44th Psalm, starting at verse number 4. You are my king, O God. Command victory for Jacob. Through you, we will push down our enemies. Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, Selah. But you have cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our army, You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. Does that sound familiar? It sure. You start looking at the word, you start seeing some things. And many people will not like what you see, tell you you're wrong. But read the word, and you will see yourself. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those all around us. This is a prophetic word that's being spoken by David. A shaking of the head among the people. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame on my face has covered me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you. Now have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back. Now have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. And as we go back to Joshua 12 and 6, and it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the Manasseh. It was wise to rehearse the spiritual victories God gives us. We do well to periodically remind ourselves of the truth we already know so that we do not forget and act foolishly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And we're going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 really quick. Second Peter chapter 1 is it says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Whew. And I love this word. This is going back. If we go back up to verse number 3, it talks about making one's calling an election sure. Many are called, few are chosen. In this word, and we're going to read all of it at verses 12 through 15, because this is when Peter is knowing he's about to die. And it says this, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now know. He's preaching to all these people. And he's telling them, you know, I'm not going to be here very much longer. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Understand what our assignments are. You know, and so as we get to this chapter down the road, you know, I just want us to remember that Peter knew he was going to die. You know, and it says this, I love what Dr. Stanley says, it is wise to rehearse the spiritual victories God gives us. We do well to periodically remind ourselves of the truth we already know, so that we do not forget and act foolishly. Peter wanted to remind us of who Jesus was and what our assignments are. And then we go into the 44th Psalm, verse 7. Dr. Stanley gives us this life lesson. You have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. Regardless of the resources God gives us, we must not trust in them for success. Come on now. But we must put our hope in him alone. We should ask them how to use those resources, but never count on them for deliverance. Remember that. We can't count on all the stuff you have means absolutely nothing, because everything we have can be gone in a minute. I watched a fire mess up some folks' house that they were in a, had to live in a hotel for 3 or 4 months until they could get their house back in order. We never know what God's plans are, but we have to every day trust God that all will be well with us. It's time to go to work, but you got to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love you so you can love others. And if you are not liking yourself, you need to start repenting and asking God to change you. Because there's some things we all dislike about ourselves. I know I got some stuff about me I don't like, but I know that I got to cut it out. And I got to ask God to take control of whatever that is, so that if that little bitty thing that's bothering me, that I don't like about me, is making me dislike my sister or my brother, then I got to cut it out of me so that I can love them. We got to love each other. You can't get happy because somebody you don't like goes through a bad time, because they're by the grace of God. Go you. Go me. Go any of us. Don't get excited because they got taken down a pig or two. Cannot rejoice in somebody else's pain. And this is a word for this morning from Proverbs 14. We're looking at verses 1 and 2. And this is a word for all of us. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with iron. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. We got to build up our children. We got to build up whatever it is in your household that needs building. Build it up, not tear it down. Don't talk about your mama and your brothers and your sisters talk about them like they don't mean anything. That's not godly. And you tear down your house. But when you build up your family, you build up your home. When you build up your church family and not tear down your pastor. You know, I love the term having my pastor for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But instead of having your pastor, you having your pastor. Your pastor is the main course, as everybody talks about him. Talks about him like he's nothing. Well, you know, pastor did this and pastor did that, and he needed to have preached. I don't know why he's preaching all that same old stuff. Don't nobody want to hear about hell and damnation. All you want to preach is revelation. All you want to preach is talking about the mark of the beast. Well, I don't care, because you all know that this and that was this and that. I'm talking about he had this and he did that. And da, da, da. I'm sick and tired of pastor. And you know, he think he all that, using our money to buy this, buy that Mercedes Benz. Using our money to do this and using our money to do that. But you're not telling anybody that your pastor's got a job in tech and that your pastor owns properties and your pastor works and your pastor does everything that he does, and that not one dime of the money that he bought that Mercedes Benz came from the church, but you having your pastor for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't know too many pastors that don't have other income besides their church. I'm just being honest. And I've worked with a bunch of pastors, and I don't know too many that their church is their full-time job. And if it becomes their full-time job, it's because they got income coming from other resources. They may own properties. They may have retirements. They may have 401ks. They may work part-time at another job that pays their bills. But I'm going to tell you now, I don't know too many pastors with a full-time job as far as income. Their full-time job is always the church. My full-time job is the church. I feel like I'm at church, and including Saturday. You know, but the bottom line is, it's because it's my love. I love going to church. I love working for God. But I tell you this, we got to build up our houses, and our houses includes God's house. We build it, not tear it down. We sit at the feet of Jesus. Ask God every day, Lord, let me just sit at your feet and learn your word and watch him work in your life. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 42. This is where our title comes from today. And it's just a reminder of the first and greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. And again, as we've spoken earlier today, Tim, that God wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses. God wrote it. God spoke it. God said it. The top ten. We got to go with them top ten. And when you take the top ten, it's Jesus, who has always been there, took the top ten and divided it into loving God, loving your neighbor. And this is what the word of God says. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? That what is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, for you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And a life lesson for that word is this: God created us to enjoy a deep and intimate relationship with himself. And while works of service are important, they must never eclipse the fellowship he wants to experience with each of us. As we say, it's time to go to work, and we work for God, but we got to spend time with God to work for God. We got to spend time with God in a loving relationship to love each other. God wants us to know that we are loved by him, and we need to let God know we love him. Let him know who you are. Let him know, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. We got to lift up the way of Jesus. And this is a life example. Mary of Bethany, a life devoted to God. Each time we look at the life of Mary of Bethany through the window of forgiveness in the gospel, we find her at feet of Jesus, John 11:32, 12:3. In Mary, Jesus discerns a heart of devotion and love for the things of God. Mary accepted Jesus' word when he spoke of his death and resurrection, and she applied them to a life by humbling herself before God and desiring only to serve the Lord. Her attitude marked her as a woman mighty in spirit. And you too can have this trait. Commit yourself to Christ. Ask him to make you aware of anything that keeps you from sitting at his feet in heart devotion. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a deep love for God's word. This is what Mary cherished, the word of God spoken to her, and it is your greatest source of comfort and hope. Thank you, God. But we're going to go to John chapter 11, verse 32. So let's join me in John. Which we will be going into coming up within the next, I believe, month. We will be in John, if not by the end of this month. We'll be in John. And this is the story. You know, if we go into John chapter 11, we know that's where the story of Lazarus is. And Mary and Martha. You know, if we go to 11 and 32, it says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. At his feet. That's her spot. She knew that if I just go to my Lord, everything's going to be all right. And when we go to John chapter 12, verse number 3, it says, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And we all know that this is what made Judas mad. You know, Jesus had his feet anointed. And it says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then he goes on to say, again, one more time, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume she poured on it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And this is what it says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. John kept it real. And as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Bam. Just the word. We're not there, but I just wanted to say that God has given us everything we need. But the main thing God wants from us is to love each other. So as you go through your day today, love your brothers, love your sisters, love the stranger, love somebody. You know, we just got to love. You know, I think Kurt Franklin wrote, you know, love. You know, just love words. He's written love therapy. He's written so many words. He's, you know, given us the word of God. We got to love. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. We got to have that love word in our heart and in our spirit. And our prayer and devotion for this morning coming out of 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And it says this. self-discipline. We have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. Hebrews 12:1. And we know Hebrew is that book of faith. Says, Mighty God, I invite your perfect presence to meet me where I am today. I don't pretend to be in a place that I'm not. I'm not going to try to convince myself that I've got it all together. If only that were true. But no, you don't require perfection. You don't even require that I be in a good place. Thank you that you accept me just as I am, failing and all. Lord, I will not forget that others have gone before me, and still others are on their way, their own journeys of faith with you. None of these paths are without obstacles or pain. I will not fool myself into thinking that I am alone in my struggles. Instead, I ask for the grace to let go of things I can't control. Leave behind the sin that tries to sidetrack me, and trust that you will heal me as I walk the path of forgiveness. I am so grateful for your presence and for the power found in you. And the thought for today is this: what do you need to let go of today? And I add, to love your neighbor. And as always, before we get out of here, a word of just a word to just help you through the day from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today is this: good morning. Some doors that God doesn't open for you is nothing more than divine protection. And others, the time just isn't right. Have a marvelous Monday. So understand that sometimes what you think is yours right now, God is not opening that door. You got to wait on the Lord. So some things are right now. Some things are never. Some things are not at this time. God will always put a shield of protection around his children. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. Have a marvelous Monday, family. As we say, as we get ready to wrap up, we pray as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are asking one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Lift up your neighbors. Lift up your friends. Lift up your enemies. And ask God to unharden your heart toward those that have misused you, those that have treated you horribly. Forgive them, because you want to be with the Lord when it's your time. And it's hard to do when you're walking around with a lot of unforgiveness. So love your neighbor as you love yourself. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Care about yourself so you can, for those that are going through right now. Pray for those that are dealing with confusion and hatred and manipulation. Pray for those who are in conflict. Pray for the Ukrainians. Pray for the Smiths and the Rocks. Pray for all those that are going through. It is not joyous to see someone in pain. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the ministers in your church. Pray for those that are going through. Pray for those that abused you. Again, let go. Shake it off. Because you want to make it through to the kingdom to be with the Lord one day. Get rid of all the extra. Say, Lord, I got it. As you got me. Have God in your life. Grab hold and hold on. Because God don't take you on a bumpy ride. But when you get to your final destination, wow, it will be worth the ride. Thank you, family. I just have a quick testimony that I would give on tomorrow. Something happened this morning. That's why I give it to those that are listening today. this morning when I got up and I was getting ready to do what I do to get ready for the work, I looked and something was hanging out of my Bible. And I know this was not there before. And it was a little white feather. And those that know my testimony know that my husband and mother-in-law passed away 6 months apart. My mother-in-law passed away. We had a funeral the day before Mother's Day. And that Mother's Day morning, I had to run out to Walmart because, you know, when you're in Kentucky, you were, you know, back in my day, you did not go to church without putting those on, something covering those legs. And I didn't have, I had a hole in my pantyhose for some reason. So I had to run over to Walmart. And I left my Bible sitting on the bed because I was going to church with my mother. When I came back, sitting on the top of my Bible was a white feather. And it was the first of many I've gotten in these almost 12 years since my husband died. And all I could do was look at it and know that it was God saying it was all right, that everything was all right. Because it was hard. My mother-in-law, I was very close to. She was like another mother. I actually called her mama. And I just say this. This morning, as I was getting ready for the lesson, this, I saw the end of my Bible. Something was sticking out. And when I opened it, it opened up on Mother's Day for this year. And within the pages was a white feather. So I tell you this as I end this lesson today. God never leaves you alone. When you think that you're all by yourself, God reminds you. When you're thinking of your loved ones, God reminds you to move forward and to know that he always has an angel of protection, that he is always there, and he will leave you a feather to remind you that all things work together for good. Those that know the Lord. So follow God today and know that he's God, and that when you see that little white feather, it's just a reminder that your angels are watching over you, because we all have those angels to keep us covered. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, and I pray that God send you your feather to remind you. So don't take that little white feather for granted, because I don't have any feather pillows. I don't have anything that has feathers in it. And if I did, how would it have gotten in my Bible? So I just say thank you, God, for the reminder that you've never left me. And you've never forsaken me. And that what I do for you is important. So keep God first. Read your word. Study and meditate on it day and night. And watch God work in your life. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. All right, Sister Carolyn, say have a marvelous Monday. And let God work in your life. And don't forget to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a wrap. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you for listening to your weepy host. Whew, God is good. Be blessed, family. Love you all. Sending many much love through the airwaves. in the byways and the highways. I pray all of your safety and that God will watch over you as you go through this day. Have a marvelous Monday. Don't try opening doors. They should stay closed. Let them stay closed. And God will show you the right door to walk through because he is always there with you. If you see a penny, penny from heaven. You see that white feather, know your angels just reminding you, I'm with you. I never left you. And I'll be with you to the end of the day. Thank you so much, family, for that.